man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wild card. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483.
Hey, folks, and welcome to the Hawk Fanatic Mailbag Podcast. It is Wednesday, March the 27th, about 9:20 a.m. Central Time. As you can probably tell from my voice, I'm a little under the weather, which is why we're doing this Wednesday instead of our normal time on Tuesday mornings. I was not in a place to do it yesterday. Still not feeling great, but going to do well enough to be able to answer the questions I do have and catch up on a busy time in Iowa athletics. And then Scott Doctor from The Athletic and I will hopefully do the Hotspot podcast tomorrow morning, Thursday, March the 28th. Usually we stream that about 9 a.m. Central Time on YouTube. So look at my X feed for that. I'll put the details for that out there. I do apologize for my voice. I'm going to try to keep the coughs down and probably will need more coffee sips, which I'm going to do now to get through this deal, but we can do it. We're tough. I didn't pull up my ads, so let me do that. This is not professional podcasting at all, but let's see. There we go. There's one. Make sure I have this for later on in the program. So you're seeing how the sausage is made here. Let's see. All right. I got both of those going. So, all right. Now we're good to jump in here. Usually like to catch you guys up on the latest competition results from Iowa athletics, or headlines as they are. Unless you've been living under a rock as a Hawkeye fan, you know that the Iowa women advanced to the Sweet 16 for a second season in a row. If you remember, they lost to Creighton at home a few years ago, but although it was dicey at times the other night against West Virginia, as it was the previous season against Georgia in the second round, Iowa got through to the Sweet 16 at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, closing the book on the careers of Caitlin Clark and Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall and Molly Davis, and Sharon Goodman. Closed the book on their time and Carver Hawkeye Arena. I'm sure there'll be celebrations there and number retirement ceremonies and things like that, and reunions that people are going to flock to. But the actual playing of games in Carver Hawkeye Arena has come to an end as the Hawkeyes head out to Albany and will face Colorado Saturday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. Central Time in Albany. And I believe that's on ABC. If you're in doubt, check ABC first, because they're going to take Caitlin Clark as many times as they can get her. Coffee sip. So there's that. And the winner of that game gets the winner of LSU and UCLA. So that's going to be juicy if Iowa can get to the Elite Eight and face, either have a rematch with LSU, which defeated it in the national title game last year, or get a shot at a really good UCLA team, which is coming into the Big Ten next year. So a lot of good storylines. And Colorado's a good team to not sleep on Colorado. They definitely are capable of beating Iowa if Iowa is off. And most of the teams the rest of the way are going to be that way. You're going to have to play well because these are all really good teams that have made it to the Sweet 16. So that'll crank back up this weekend. The men's season came to a close on Sunday night with a loss out in Salt Lake City to Utah. Then we found out yesterday that second leading scorer, leading assist man, and I think Tony was third or fourth in rebounds. He averaged 14 points, 4.6 assists, and 4.4 rebounds. Was second team all Big Ten by the coaches, who viewed him among the top 10 players in the league. He is going in the transfer portal. And I'm going to tell you that it's not because he wants to leave Iowa and that he doesn't like Iowa City. He doesn't like the fans. He doesn't like Fran. He doesn't like his teammates. He is leaving for financial reasons, and the money he can get out in the open market, NIL-wise, is significant from what he can make here. Basically, Iowa cannot afford to keep him. I don't think this is a fan thing, although, you know, the money's coming in for football to bring in the Cade McNamara transfer portal class last year. I guess that was, what, December, early January of 22-23. And then this year compensated Jay Higgins and crew in retention. Sebastian Castro, Nick, Quinn Schulte. I mean, those guys did not come back for free, but the money is not there for men's basketball right now. Now, this is part of the system, and, you know, you guys are having to pay, you being the fans are having to pay NIL to retain and attract players. The universities, the NCAA, are getting off scot-free here. They don't have to give the athletes anything, nothing. So you tell me how that's fair for the fans who are paying for seats, donating to the university, and having to pay NIL, but the NCAA and its member institutions are like, ah, sorry. So something has to change in that regard. And until it does, Iowa men's basketball may not be in good shape in terms of attracting top players because it's going to cost money that Iowa does not have. And so now Fran McCaffrey, and, you know, one of his greatest strengths is identifying talent that others may not see. He's going to have to ratchet that up to the point now and develop guys at an even greater pace. Just look around the Big Ten and what transfers did to help the teams in the Big Ten from around, you know, just go around the league, Wisconsin, Illinois, just go around the league and figure out where Iowa stands in that regard and where men's basketball stands in the hierarchy of Iowa sports. Football's one. I would submit that wrestling and Iowa women's basketball have some more support now than men's basketball. So that's where men's basketball is, so to speak, in the hierarchy of Iowa. And I've written about this and I've put it on the message boards and I'm trying to get this message through to folks, but it doesn't seem like it's penetrating very well. Eventually, it's going to penetrate if this really hurts Iowa men's basketball to the point where it can't compete, even though it has a coach that was able to compete, at least, you know, at a competitive level, finishing in the top half of the Big Ten, winning a Big Ten tournament, things like that. He's going to have to find more Keegan Murrays, and that's not easy to do. And then if he finds a Keegan Murray from somewhere else, are they going to have the money to keep him when he shows what he can do in college? So it is not a good place for Iowa men's basketball right now, and I'll leave it at that. And there's going to be another guy that goes in the portal today if he hasn't done so already. I'm certainly not going to break that news on here. I'll wait till it comes out, but it's going to make people scratch their head again. And yeah, so I laid it out for you. You guys consume, you know, process that however you like. But that's kind of where things stand right now. Well, baseball, good start for the Hawks. Won 2 out of 3 in West Lafayette against Purdue. That was the kind of start they needed in the Big Ten with a rocky non-conference schedule. Very difficult non-conference schedule. So if they can put something together in the Big Ten and, you know, finish up in the top part of the Big Ten, I think they're fine in terms of getting in the NCAA tournament. Still a ton of baseball to play yet. We haven't even hit April. So, and the first Big Ten series at home is this coming weekend. I believe it's against Minnesota, but check out HawkeyeSports.com for all of those things that I've talked about and more. Let me get into your questions now, so we don't run this too long or before I lose my voice. I got off of my hash mark or hashtag for where is my hashtag? There we go. Let's get back on here. Pull up. Go back to where I left off the previous week. Let's see. Go back to March 21st. And again, hashtag HF mail any time of the week. I'll pick up where I left off with the previous week's podcast, the last question that I got in there. I'll pick up where I left off after that and get you in the next podcast. Rob Howe. With the Pac-12 teams coming, how will the bowl system work? More teams to fill Big Ten bowl spots. Will some bowl-eligible Big Ten teams be left out? I think that's to be determined, and this is at D. Freen, California Hawkeye, on Twitter. That's to be determined because of the, I think, the fluidity of the college football playoff. Now at 12 teams, you could definitely see 3 teams from the Big Ten getting into that, the top 3 teams in the Big Ten getting into at least 2, but potentially 3 getting into the playoff. And then that changes the structure of where teams go after that. But yeah, my guess is the Big Ten will be able to create enough partnerships where the deserving bowl teams, and that's up for debate as well, what is deserving and what isn't deserving, when like 70% of your teams actually make bowl games, 70% of your FBS teams make bowl games. But it's going to be interesting. The landscape's going to be completely different now with so much focus on the college football playoff. I'm interested to see how much attention will be given to those other bowl games, how fans will travel to bowl games that aren't included in the playoff. It's going to be interesting. You're going to have players that opt out of those other games. They're not going to play in those games unless the bowl games compensate them. Again, this is a business now for these players. They deserve their part of the pie, and entities like bowl games that don't want to pay for it, and maybe financially it's not feasible then for them to do so, it's not going to work anymore, because people aren't going to watch a bowl game with 2 teams that don't have any of their best players because the bowl games can't afford to pay them. So I don't know. There's a lot of work to do in that area, Dean. I'm kind of just taking a wait and see approach with that. And I think most of the focus anyway is on the college football playoff. So after that, I think there'll be a lot of maneuvering to see who can survive there in terms of the other bowls. Trip Manfro at PFAC 51. This is from March the 24th. He has a coffee sip. Thank you, sir. I'll take one. B, was Real Woods a disappointment? I guess it depends on what your expectations for him were. He came in and was ranked number 1, but then lost a couple times and went into the NCAA championship, seeded 3rd, and he finished 3rd. So I think in the pantheon of disappointments with the Iowa wrestling team this year, I don't think Woods is very high up there. He did okay. He got third in nationals. You'll take that. People probably disappointed he didn't win it, but tough weight class. And he didn't, but he got beat early in the relatively early in the NCAAs, fought his way back through the Concy bracket and finished third. I give the kid credit. So no, I'm not disappointed, but that's a personal, perspective for everybody out there who, if you had him winning a national title or making a final, you're probably disappointed. What can fans build on going into 2024 for Hawkeye Wrestling? I would say Ben Keeter and Gabe Arnold, pair of Iowa City High grads, where my kids go to school. So certainly rooting for those guys to do well. And I think that's a jolt of talent, a talent boost with those two coming in. But you have to hit the portal. You have to build your lineup. And in doing so, looking at Penn State and saying, okay, we need to be stronger here, here, here to be able to compete with Penn State here, here, here. Because that is the team you have to compete with. I know Iowa finished whatever it was, fourth or fifth at nationals, but if you're not first, you're last, right? And they were competitive with all those other teams. Penn State was just so far ahead of everybody else. They won by 100 points. It's crazy. So that's where you have to make up ground. You can't just do it independently. You have to look at Penn State and say, this is where we need to be. And do so on the recruiting trail. And again, I commend Tom Brands. And if Beth Goetz was involved in deciding not to bring in AJ Ferrari after his annex at the Soldier Salute this year, he would have helped them on the mat, most likely, provided he didn't get suspended or do something crazy. But don't compromise your integrity to try to compete either. Do it the right way. Get good guys in here. Get guys that want to help you get at Penn State, reach the Penn State level. You can do it. It's Iowa wrestling. Iowa wrestling is, Alabama football or Indiana basketball. You're talking about like the blue blood of blue blood programs. That's Iowa. I mean, Penn State certainly is catching up. I think what, 11 or 12 national championships now? So closing in on 15, I think that Iowa has. So, or maybe that was 15 for Gable. And Sanderson's closing. I don't know. All I know is Penn State is a dynasty right now, and Iowa needs to do everything it can to figure out how to crack through it. Cyhawk guy at Iowa Hawkeye. This is also from March 26th, which was yesterday. Watching all these other teams in March, it's obvious what Iowa lacks to have success. Elite guard play and defensive intensity. Why hasn't anyone ever confronted Fran on his defense and asked why he neglects to address it? Should Beth require Fran to make a change? That's a slippery slope when AD starts interjecting strategic plans, game plans, system changes, things like that. That can just be really wonky. You hire a coach to have him or her run the program, and you let them run it as they see fit. You don't like to see it, you don't like how they run it. Well, then you have to make a change, right? And there are a lot of factors that go into this: attendance, revenue, all those things go into it. And I'm sure Beth is going to review the situation and figure out, what is best for her program. But it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in the podcast about support for the men's basketball program. I agree with everything you say in terms of having elite guard play and defensive intensity, but the teams that have that have invested in that. And some of them always have that, but I think there are schools like, Kentucky and schools that have like ultra amounts of talent, and they still aren't playing this next weekend because it's not easy to do. I'm concerned for the stability of the Iowa men's basketball program in the current state. But again, I don't disagree that there needs to be a talent upgrade. I think Fran has done more with less in terms of what resources he's given through the years and has, again, a keen eye for talent, but I don't know if he can keep doing that. And if you, who are you gonna, what coach is gonna take a job where you're saying, hey, you can come on in, enjoy the program. We got it, here's our history, all that. But oh, by the way, you got shit for NIL. So good luck attracting players. Maybe they bring a new coach in and people are donating money. Does that mean the guy's gonna win? No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean he's going to pick the right guys, but you can't be where you are now. I just don't think it's sustainable. That's kind of my basketball answer right now. After tonight's game, this was Sunday night, and this is 44MLess at 44MLess on Twitter. After tonight's game, which was Sunday, do you think playing a game like this will be beneficial for the team in the Sweet 16 and beyond? That's if they win, of course. Or did this game reveal flaws that it may be tough to overcome in the regional? Oh, we're talking about the women. Okay. No, like I said earlier, I think the competition is just really good right now. You have, I don't know if you have the 16 best teams in the country, but most of them are. There weren't a lot of upsets on the women's side of the bracket here and there, but I don't think are there any double digit seeds in the Sweet 16? I don't think so. I think the lowest seed may be an eight, but in Iowa's region, it's what's Colorado, a five? So you got 1 versus 5, 2 versus 3. I mean, those are teams that have been good all year. You have to play well to beat those teams. Iowa's shown vulnerability this year at Ohio State, at Indiana, against Kansas State. If it doesn't play well, good teams can beat it. But that's the way it is for everybody. If South Carolina has an off night, they could lose. I think they're the prohibitive favorite, but they could lose if they don't play well because the teams that they're going to continue to play are good enough to beat them when they're not on their game. And that's just the reality of, March basketball, the Sweet 16 and beyond. A lot of the upsets you see in one shining moment happen very early in the tournament, the first weekend. Not as many of those later on. The cream usually rises to the top when it comes to college basketball and the teams that have put together solid rosters. All right, folks, I want to let you know that support for the podcast comes from Systems Unlimited, celebrating 50 years of providing services to people living with disabilities and mental health needs throughout East Central Iowa. A list of their services and upcoming events can be found at sui.org. That is sui.org. Thank you to Systems Unlimited for the great work that they're doing in our community for over half a century, and we certainly appreciate their support of the podcast. We thank them very much for that. We have a few more people that we'd like to thank. You'll hear from them now, and I'll be back on the other side with more of your questions.
Hi, this is AJ Perez, managing partner at Deere Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Waukee and Iowa City. I'm so proud of our team at both locations. We are committed to one thing, giving our customers the absolute best when it comes to service and a car buying experience. The kind of experience that brings you back. What makes us different? We believe at Deere, we don't just sell cars, we help people buy them.
Do you need a great electrical contractor or fire and water restoration specialist? Well, contact Lance Bolin at LB Electric and LJ Construction in North Liberty. Lance has served the corridor for many years and is ready to help you. Call Lance Bolin at 319-640-1116. That's 319-640-1116. Or visit LJ_construction on Instagram for licensed and insured electrical work, fire and water restoration, and remodeling.
Guess what, folks? Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, State Farm agent Chad Birch right here in Iowa City can switch you over so you can start saving today. Chad and his team are ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With Chad Birch, it's easy to switch and save. Just give him a call when you want the real deal, like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. All right, let's hop back in here. Jesse Lucier at Jesse underscore Lucier underscore. Good to hear from you, Jesse. I think it's been a while. I don't believe refs ever rig games, but did the refs rig that game? LSU also got lots of help from the refs against MTSU. With the amount of TV revenue riding on these two teams, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think that's the case. Maybe I'm naive to this, Jesse. I just, the referee conspiracy stuff, I know there have been some shady refs in the past. Tim guy from the NBA that was gambling. I mean, that stuff's out there, I know. But I don't know why you would. The women's tournament's getting attention now anyway. And yes, it would hurt if you lost Angel Reese or Caitlin Clark or Paige Beckers. Whenever those kids go out, that, you know, those are less eyeballs. But I think the sport is getting to the point now where people are going to watch this to see how it plays out. And if there's an upset, maybe that adds to the attractiveness of this tournament, if there are some upsets. I want to believe that the referees have more integrity than that, and the sport itself has more integrity than that. I think it would take a lot to be able to pull something like that off, where you're telling the referees, hey, we need you to, and I know there are different avenues to being able to help a team win. But that game the other night was not called in, you know, from Iowa's perspective. I think Iowa would like it to be called a little tighter, meaning when a team is hacking you for 40 minutes, more of those should be called. And I know West Virginia feels like it was ripped off by the discrepancy in free throw attempts. But Iowa was aggressive going to the basket, drawing fouls. West Virginia were jacking up three-pointers. You're not going to get fouled on those for the most part. So that's where a lot of that discrepancy comes in. I just think each game is just its own entity, and each game has its own flow to it. And there is some dependency on how a game is called, but it's the old, you know, Tom Izzo, Michigan State, we'll just foul the shit out of the other team every time. They can't call them all, right? And that's kind of what West Virginia was doing the other night. Now, if you let it go both ways, then it's even. But that changes the style of the way Iowa wants to play. Fortunately for Iowa, it has players like Kate Martin and Sita Falter and Hannah and kids and Gabby, kids that are tough, that don't mind the physicality, that give it back. Even Caitlin will give it back. If she feels like she's being, you know, defended overly aggressively, physically, she can give that back on the other end. Players have the understanding that if a game is being called in a certain way, once you figure it out at the beginning, as long as the officials call it the same way both ways, that's what you want. You just want fair officiating. I know what you're saying is maybe you're seeing it weighed towards the teams that have higher TV ratings. I just can't go there yet. I need more evidence of that. Cyhawk guy is back. Iowa Hawk guy, GUI on Twitter. After 14 years of the same issues, how do you get fans to invest as you wrote? Unless Fran addresses these, hires a defensive assistant, focuses on rebounding, changes his sub patterns, rids of his two foul rule, nothing changes, apathy, don't blame fans. These are on Fran. That's fine. And you're certainly entitled to that opinion. in terms of what you think is ailing the Iowa men's basketball program. I laid out my thoughts at the beginning of this podcast. If you want to, I'm not going to rehash all that again here. Can Fran do better? Certainly he can. And he'll tell you that there are things that he can do better, but there are things that are out of his control that would be out of the control of whoever is hired to replace him, unless just replacing the coach adds support. That hasn't happened in the past. That hasn't happened after Tom Davis with Steve Alford and Todd Licklider and then Fran McCaffrey. It's been the same lack of support for this program from practice facility to now the NIL. It's like you have to do more with less at Iowa men's basketball. You think, Hal, you're just making excuses for Fran. I'm not. I've watched this happen now for going on 30 years with this program. Go over to Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's like I'm going in a time machine. Seriously, I walk in there, it looks the same basically as it did when I got here in 1997. You know, Ricky Davis's freshman year. Dean Oliver, think about that. I mean, it's not fan-friendly. There's just a lot here. There are a lot of layers to this. But in the new age of basketball, you can invest money in your men's basketball program, get a couple of studs, two of them, and you can change the complexion of your team. You can change the outlook of your team and what you can accomplish. It's just think about it in pro sports with free agency and how you add to your roster. That's where we are now in major college athletics. Refocus, recalibrate your brain to think of it in those terms. This isn't just going out and getting a high school kid and developing him. And that's part of it. You still need to be able to do that. But there are other programs going out there each year. JP Estrella loved Iowa, loved it, visited here, wanted to come. Tennessee goes, hey, we'll give you $400,000 a year to come here. Where do you think he went? Would he have helped Iowa this year? Yeah, I think so. So don't put it all on Fran. And I'm not saying I'm blaming the fans, because I said that I explained this in the column and I explained it at the front of this podcast. It's not the fans' responsibility to pay these players. It should be the university's responsibility. They're the ones bringing in all the money. The fans are asked to give more now than they were before, and the universities don't have to give as much. It's ridiculous. So that's kind of where I stand on that. And another layer for this from Iowa Hawkeye. We can stop using bad luck and an excuse for Iowa not making the Sweet 16. Houston 5 straight after 0 for 35 years from 2 and 20. You're comparing Iowa to Houston? Seriously? Otts has created a dynasty. Do you see who they got out of the portal the other day at Iowa State? You think they paid him anything? I think you're being naive if you don't look at the whole picture here. I get it. I've kind of sensed that you don't like Fran, and that's fine if you want to change. I'm not going to tell people that a change won't be for the better. You can score somebody that can figure this out without an NIL, or you can go back to the Licklider days or somewhere in between. You can get somebody that's as good as Fran, who made 4 straight NCAA tournaments, would have been 5 without COVID, which would have matched the program record. So it all depends on your expectations and what you want. I'm not going to tell you what to expect. I'm going to give you my opinion on what I see and what I've seen for, you know, over a quarter century around here in terms of men's basketball. I think I have a pretty good handle on it, but I'm not going to tell you what to think. If you want to move on from Fran and you think there's something better out there, we'll see, because it could happen. Just stop supporting them. If you really want to push him out, don't give any money. Don't let him get any players, more players. See if that's productive. Trip. Trip is back. Do you have an update on Iowa women's basketball men's scholarship numbers, September 2024? Yeah, that's going to change a lot between now and then, Trip. As far as I know, the women are bringing in four and losing four, so I don't know what their scholarship count was coming into this season, if they had one to give. I think they did. But also, actually, they lose Sharon Goodman too, so there are scholarships open there. I haven't looked at that as closely. The men are at nine right now. If you take Perkins and Patrick McCaffrey out of the mix, that would be nine, including the two got freshmen coming in, Todd Joe and Cooper Koch. That puts you at nine, so that gives Iowa four to play with. And again, we'll see what happens. Let's see, Kevin Melker. This is from yesterday as well. Thoughts on the state of Iowa wrestling? I think it's time for Tom to make some staffing changes. I'm going to admit that I don't know how much that would help. It's not my area. I mean, I like to watch wrestling. It's just not a sport that I know the intricacies of, the in and outs of what coaching, how coaching impacts individual weights and development of wrestlers, things like that. So I'm not sure what that would accomplish. If you want to get rid of Tom, and I know you're not saying that, but if somebody else out there is thinking about getting rid of Tom, you got to give me somebody you're replacing him with that would do a better job, that could compete with Penn State. I don't know. I'm not that well versed in college wrestling. The state of the program, though, is what I spoke about earlier. At best, you're second right now to Penn State, and there's a long way to go to catch up. Just look at the kids that wrestled in the finals that are coming back for Penn State. It's a high bar, but you either go for it or you give up. So that's kind of where they're at in that regard. But they've got time. There's all off season to try to figure this thing out and try to improve. And they do have guys in the program that can help. Drake Ayala's, reaching the final, finishing second in the country. That's good. That's a good season for him, and he can build on that. And that's what you hope for. And then there are other guys in the program that you hope can take steps forward. And that starts probably with Ben Keeter and Gabe Arnold. And then you supplement and fill in around there again, as I said, and look at the Penn State roster and say, this is where we have to be better. Let's see. Do I have any more? I think that's it, folks. I think I got to them all, unless I missed them. Let's see anything more with the hashtag. Do one more run by here to make sure. Okay. Hopefully, I wasn't too salty. I'm a little cranky because I don't feel well, so I didn't mean to lash out at anybody on here. I get passionate about some of this stuff when I'm trying to get a point across, and can sound like an ass sometimes, but I don't mean to. I love you all. And I appreciate you asking the questions. I appreciate our sponsors for helping us support this podcast and others on the feed, and our ability to bring you these free of charge, no Patreon or any of that stuff for the podcasts. And we have a fresh Hawk-centric podcast every day of the work week, Monday through Friday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is the flagship, which is Pat Hardy and the guys from KCJJ. And then Tuesdays normally is this podcast. Had to move it because I'm sick. And then Thursdays, Scott Dockerman and I do the hotspot. So we got you covered through your work week. And then we also have additional podcasts. Brian Hurley, former Iowa kicker, does a history podcast. I do some prospect podcasts, some kind of human interest sports podcast that I'm going to start kicking up here again soon. But yeah. Check us out, subscribe, all that stuff. That would be great. We would appreciate it. Like our feeds and subscribe and all that stuff. And it helps us, it helps our advertisers, and it helps us continue to be able to do this for you guys. So thanks again. I'm going to continue to try to get better. Maybe I'll sound better on tomorrow's podcast with Scott. But until then, have a good rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.